Luke 7, 36 to 50. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. That's nice. We invite you to have lunch with us today downstairs. Jimmy would be cooking up a store, hot links and hamburgers and all that kind of stuff. But it's a different kind of dinner because we want just to hang out with you and you to be blessed and you to bless us and all that kind of stuff. But there was something else going on at the Pharisee's house that night. So Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. And when a woman who had led a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I've got something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back." So he can't, maybe you can relate to that. I got a witness. Hey, I got a little debt, can't get back. "Neither of them had the money to pay back, so he canceled the debts of both." Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon said, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace." Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would indeed meet us here, Lord. That you would find us in this place, Lord, and that we might find the comfort that that woman received. Lord, that we might come near to your feet, Lord, that we might come near to the kingdom of God, that we might come near to you, Lord, and that we might be transformed. And we'll give you praise for that. Name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Responding to the message, this woman did. I did. Many of you here today have. Jesus called your name and you said, "Jesus, I'm looking for what we're offering." There was something special that was going on inside this lady's life. Kingdom of heaven came near and she was jumping in. I jumped in. I was radically saved. God saved me out of a life of drugs and alcohol. And some of you look at me and think, I've just been straight my whole life. And that's not true. But the more I found out about God, the more I wanted to know. I jumped in with both feet. Read Luke chapter 7. Read about the kingdom of God. It says earlier in the chapter that Jesus went into a town of Nain. And this probably the town. He doesn't talk about him leaving. But talking about this town of Nain. And he shows up and he's on display. Because there's a crew that's following him around Galilee. He's got his crew, his crowd, his disciples. And there's a lady coming out of the town. And there's a funeral procession. Maybe like Irma's sister. Poor Irma's sister. And the lady's a woman, and she's got her only son, her only means of support, and he's dead. And there's a crowd coming out of the town, and perhaps Jesus is arriving at the town. Maybe not. Maybe he's been there. But anyway, here's the thing. And there's a two crowds meet. And he walks up and he says, "Woman, receive your son," and brings him back to life. How radical is that? How much of the story and the message of Jesus would be moved through that area because of the incredible life-giving message and the life-giving power that Jesus has. And the message of the Lord spread and the fame of Jesus spread. And some people came running. This lady, she came a running. "You got what I need." She was jumping in with all she had. That guy not holding anything back. And in our lives, we can see things that we want, and we just want to go for it all. That there is just things that are worth all of our attention and all of our effort. And yet, there are some who would hold back. There are some who would stay at a distance. The Pharisees stayed at a distance. Luke chapter 7, verse 30 says, "The Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves." And there are those that come running, and that there are those that stand on the side, and they are side by side in life. They are side by side in this story. And we get this graphic example or display of the difference between the response of the woman and the response of the Pharisees, because they were rejecting the message of the kingdom. And they stood side by side. There are people in this church side by side. Some received the message of the cross with great abandon. Some stand on the side, jumping in with both feet or playing it safe. Just kind of dipping a toe in. You know, just kind of like, "Oh yeah, this is good enough for me." My question today, which are you? Who are you? Who do you want to be? Lord Jesus Christ, and you said, "Lord, which of these pictures describes my relationship to you?" Because he goes to the Pharisees and he says, "Have you seen what this woman is doing? And have you seen what you have done?" There is a difference. Kingdom of God, jumping in. We need to jump in. The worship we had today talked about the fervency and the desire to come into relationship with God. Aaron spoke of that fervency and desire to come into relationship with God. Amen. There are some that jump in. There are some that hold back. The kingdom of God is not very clean. It can be a messy place. Not very sanitary. Not very reserved. And when you jump in, you're not holding much back. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. Have I got your attention now? Yes. All right. Let's talk about the woman and the Pharisee. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. "Jesus, come on over to my house tonight. Have a little thing. I'm going to be grilling up some hot links." I don't know what their version of hot links was, but it surely wasn't pork. So he went to one of the Pharisees' house and reclined at the table. And this whole thing, this whole dinner system that they had was intended to impress. Pharisee's name was Simon. Don't get confused. It was not the Simon that became Simon Peter and became an apostle. No, this guy did not become an apostle. That is recorded. Maybe he gave his life to the Lord, but we don't know about that. And he was having a dinner. Pharisee's dinner would be a big deal, a big shindig. These were part of the social network of the area, and you would have people over, and they would have you over, and Jesus talks about these dinners. Sometimes he calls them banquets, and he talks about the Pharisees, and he says the Pharisees love the places of honor. At where? At these banquets. And so there was this whole thing that was going on at these dinners to be seen, and like the cocktail circuit in Washington, D.C., you know, who's getting invited where and all that kind of stuff. And you got, I kind of wonder, why did Jesus get invited? Well, Jesus was getting pretty famous. And I think the Pharisees were thinking, hey, you can join us. We'll let you in because you got a little bit of a following. And you know what? Jesus doesn't join anything. You can join Jesus if you want. But Jesus isn't jumping on anybody. And so because this is all a show, and because this is all a display, and because it's all a game, we have to ask ourselves another question. Why did Jesus go? Well, Jesus is reaching out to this sinful woman, amen? Jesus reached all kind of messed up people. And you know what? Jesus even reaches out to the Pharisees. And so he goes to this party in an attempt to bring truth to Simon. Because nobody is too far gone for our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
You're here today?
Yes.
You are not too far for our Lord Jesus Christ to save. Amen?
Amen.
Am I getting a witness back there, Johnny?
Yes.
Amen. You got that witness going on back there. Amen. All right, here we go. All right, the other thing I noticed here, there was something going on. There was something going on at that dinner that Simon hadn't reckoned on. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she came a-running. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, why is she weeping? Why is she there? She is weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed and poured perfume on them. Jesus is coming. Jesus was coming to the Pharisee's house. She learned where Jesus was going to be, and she wanted to see Jesus. She was coming to worship him. Jesus had touched her. Jesus had been doing miracles. John the Baptist sent his reps up, said, "Hey, man, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else?" He said, "Hey, man, the message goes out. The sick are healed. The demons are cast out. Look what I got going on here for the kingdom of God." And one of the transformations had happened in this woman's life. And you said forgiveness, right? There is a response. There is a response. I do not want you to read this story as she is wiping his feet to get something. She is wiping his feet and crying and weeping because she already got something. Can I get a witness on that? We are going to develop that go along today. But he had touched her just like the Lord had touched me. And just like he had touched many of you. That he had transformed her life. And she was a woman who had led a sinful life. And there is the obvious sin. You don't want to offend anybody. This woman was known in that town. This woman had led a sinful life. And here she is making this spectacle at a Pharisee's house. How'd she get there? Well, nobody jumps to the end of the line with one step. It comes with 1,000 tiny steps getting worse and worse and worse. She brought her alabaster jar of perfume, one of the tools of her trade, and began to anoint our Lord's feet. Another story of a woman who brought her jar of perfume and broke it and poured it on his head and anointed him for the cross. She had a brand new life. There was no need for her to be holding back her perfume because she was going into a brand new profession. Can I get a witness on that? She had a brand new future that was looking at her, and she said, "I don't need this anymore. I'm going to bless my Lord." When you jump into the kingdom of God, there are some old things that need to get left behind. There are some things that need to fall off on the wayside. My question, what are you holding back from the Lord today? The more you follow the Lord, the more you need to leave behind. Lord called me to serve him, and I left for Bible college, and before I left, I went to my partner, the focus of my life. We were building this business, computer consulting, and it became less important as I began to serve the Lord more and more, and he called me to come full-time and serve him and to do radical things like right here, what we're doing today. And I went to my partner and I said, I got to go. I literally said that. I got to go. Do you buy me out? And he said, are you joking? He goes, all of our customers said, are you joking? This thing is just starting to roll. I said, I got something else that's going on. I tell you what, you pay for my schooling and you can have the business. And I got a car accident. The day before I left, totaled my car. Left with except a brand new future. I left my old business and I got a new business. I left my old family and I got a new family. And I'm telling you, it is good, folks. You can trust. You were late today, Steve. Here's my question. What do you need to let go of so that you can jump into the kingdom? Or you can forget about Steve right now. What do you need to let go of? What's the Lord talking to your heart about right now? You got some things that you're holding on to. All right. Point number two. This is not what we're looking for. And this is the Pharisee speaking. Why? When the Pharisee who invited him, doesn't say he invited the girl. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And everybody knew this girl. There was no hiding the fact that she was a sinner. She had led a sinful life in that town. She was known. She was scorned. And if he were a prophet, he would scorn her too. He'd be keeping his distance. Question, why was she there? Who let her in? Well, part of the dinner circuit, whatever you want to call it, was that you would let the poor people come in the back and have the scraps. Kind of a holdover from the Old Testament. Well, it's all Old Testament back then. But when you let the poor glean the fields, let them have the leftovers, well, they let the poor come in the back and get the scraps from the table. Well, this girl wormed her way in the back, but she wasn't going to stop just for scraps. And she came right on in and began to make this audacious display of worship. There was an opportunity. There was an opportunity to come near to Jesus, and she was going to make the most of it. My question for you is, when you have an opportunity to draw near to the Lord, do you make the most of it? Or do you just try and fit Jesus in on the side? See, the Pharisees were just trying to fit Jesus in on the side. She had come to worship. Do you? You try and get here at 9:59 so you can get all the worship songs? You just try and slide in after offering. Prayer. Is it a focus? The Word of God. The Bible. Is it a focus? Is it important? Do you feel like the woman, or do you feel like the Pharisee? Are you jumping into the kingdom of God with both feet? Or are you just sitting on the side going, I think I'm okay. Got a little, I don't know what that guy's drinking. Maybe lemonade. That guy just looks radical, doesn't he? I think this woman, saved from a sinful life, was radically saved. I bet you, I mean, we got a couple women respond to the Lord like this. They made the Bible. I don't think it was a common occurrence. Definitely wasn't a common occurrence at the Pharisee's house. And Jesus responds to his statement. He tells a story. Simon, let me tell you a story. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50, and neither of them had money to pay him back. So he canceled the debt of them both. Now, which of them do you suppose loved him more? And Simon the Pharisee replied, I suppose it was the one who had the greater debt. And Jesus says, right. 50 denarii. Denarii is about a day's wages for a laborer. Let's call it $100. It might be a little bit low, but it does the math easy. So 50 denarii would be $5,000. And 500 denarii would be $50,000. So one guy owed $50,000 and the other guy owed $5,000. And neither one of them can pay. And they're both forgiven their debt. And Jesus says, who loves more? And the Pharisee gets it right. Partway. But he gets a lot of it wrong. Because Jesus tells a story to prove a point or to make a point. Amen? Amen? So, the one thing that the Pharisees, I don't think, may be getting is who's Jesus really talking about? And we talk about, I mean, and you got this display of the people and the Pharisees and all the Pharisees' guests, probably other Pharisees, and then you got this woman crying at Jesus' feet. And I ask you this question, who's the person that owes the $50,000? It's the woman who led the sinful life. And she is making a display of love. But what I don't know that is hitting on Simon is who's the other guy? Because the guy who owes $5,000 is Simon. And I don't think he's owing anything. Big debt, small debt. Everybody got a debt. This woman had a massive debt. And the Lord did not write her off. Some of us come to the Lord. We got massive debt. Maybe you come in here today and you have led a sinful life. You're like me. The Lord takes you a long way. And there are people that looked at you in your life, just like the Pharisees looked at this girl and said, she ain't worth it. She got too far to come. God not going to do that for her. But God didn't write you off. God doesn't write people off. We don't know who God's working on. God can work on anybody. Sometimes you look at them and say, no way God could work with those people. They're just too far gone. We just write them off because there's not much that can be done with people like that. But see, God started doing a work, and pretty soon these guys start looking just like us. And that is that guy sitting right there. Aren't you glad God didn't write you off, Timothy? Aren't you guys glad God didn't write Timothy off? I'm glad God didn't write me off. And God didn't write the rest of you off. And maybe you're here today and you have not received that touch from the Lord. And you're thinking, I'm too far gone. Well, if this woman's not too far gone and Timothy's not too far gone and I'm not too far gone, you're here for a reason today. Amen. Because you're not too far gone. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he's talking to the Pharisee. Because I got to tell you, the Pharisee's not too far gone either. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus one day. And his life was transformed. But he says this Pharisee's not doing real well. Jesus describes the difference between the woman and the Pharisee. And he says, he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? And I think Simon's going, everybody sees the woman. She's making a spectacle of herself. She's jumping in, folks. I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And to have a dinner like this, that would have been a common courtesy. Says, you didn't kiss my head. You didn't give me a welcome at all. But she kissed my feet. And you did not give me any oil for my head. But she anointed my feet with perfume. These are the displays of the transformed life. Is your life a display?
Yes.
The presence of Jesus did everything for this woman and nothing for the Pharisee. Pharisee couldn't care less. My question for you is, what does the presence of Jesus do for you? Does it motivate you for radical, transformed life, jumping in with both feet? Because we do have an opportunity for transformation. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Her sins, he says in the previous verses, your sins are forgiven. I'm making a declaration today. You're clean. You got a brand new start. You got a brand new opportunity. And the other guests are indignant. They're saying, well, who are you? Who are you to say she is as good as us? I think Jesus is thinking, she's passing you guys by. Because the Bible says that God is, Jesus, our Lord, is no respecter of persons. You'd be sitting in this church for the last 20 years. There's some of these new folks will pass you by. Because they got a hunger for the Lord. They got a desire to be righteous. They are jumping in with both feet. They are weeping at the feet of our Lord. And they are being transformed in their lives. They said, she's too far gone. How can you do that? And Jesus says, you're missing the point. It's already been done. You can see the marks of the transformation in her already. She has been transformed. That's why she's here. See, and if you have been transformed, you're going to come running. Why? Because you want to come and worship our Lord because He has taken you so far. Can I get a witness? Am I talking to anybody here? Now, does this manifest itself in your life? This woman is living out the transformation. Are you living out the transformation? This woman had big love for the Lord. He who has been forgiven, she who has been forgiven, loves much. How about you? How much do you love? How much have you received and how much are you holding back from our Lord? Because there's people just like at this party, some jumping in with both feet. And some just looking on from the side. Both sitting here today. I came a long way. This woman came a long way. How do we get so messed up? It starts off with small choices. Small choices that get worse and worse and worse. They don't seem so bad. Track with me. I don't lose you here. That sign is right out there on 805. You want to get on 15? You go to the right. You want to keep going on 805? You go straight. And sometimes you just be zoning and make the wrong choice. And you're headed down the wrong road. And you think, no big deal, because this is that transition right here. I'm just going to cruise right up to 8, make that turn, and I'll be on 805. Have you done that?
Yeah.
I do it all the time. And sometimes you start spacing again, cell phone ring, whatever, got a text. I'm not good at texting. If you text me, it's a 50-50 shot. I'm ever going to get it. Either driving or not. I mean, I see get these texts for like 4 days ago. Oh, yeah, you got a text. So if you need me to do something, don't text me. Call me. So anyway, you're on 15. I'm doing this. You know, it's like I'm going to jump over to 805. It's like 1 mile. It's our lives. You got these little choices to make. I'm going to make it right. And then you miss that turn. And then what happens? It's like, whoa. Man, I could maybe jump over on Balboa. But, man, I get up and I'm going to 52. And all of a sudden, I got a ways to go before I can get right again. I'm going the wrong way. I don't know how to get back. I'm blocked in. I got no turns I can make. I don't really want to turn around and go all the way back to here. And I get up to 52 and I miss that. And it's like, holy smoly. Man, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I got to go up to Ted Williams Parkway. Man, I am miles off track. I don't even know how it happened. And sometimes that is a picture of our lives. And what Jesus is saying is it's a matter of distance. Because we get over here, it's 1 mile. Get over here, it's like 3. Miramar Road is like 5. Get up there, it's like 20. How far is Jesus going to take you to put you back on track? That's how much you're going to love him. That's how much you're going to love him. And when you find yourself on track, you realize there was no way you could get yourself on track, and you begin to love him even more and more. Am I talking to anybody today?